We appreciate our choir, and Miriam and Clay was called on at the last minute to help us out because Mark Winstead has COVID. Now, his symptoms are very light, and we are thankful for that. And I want you to know that we've begun doing the jet spray in all the buildings, the bathrooms, all the rooms, again, because there has been a little uptick in COVID. We had an outstanding Bible school. Kathy Winstead and her volunteers really outdid themselves. I know it was good because on two different nights, we had two different children. This really happened right out in the Welcome Center that pitched an absolute tantrum. You got that? They were mad. And because it was 8:30 and Bible school was over and they wanted to keep going into the night. They really did. And so our workers had a time calming them down. And they learned that from Jim Price. When we get out on time, Jim always complains to me when our service gets out on time. He just wants us to keep on going. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58 and Colossians 2, 6, and 7. I'll be reading those in just a few moments. I want to share with you about being better than the best in living the Christian life. Ernest Shackleton was a British explorer. He was born in Ireland in 1874. He was a member of the Merchant Marines. Later, he was in the Royal Navy as a lieutenant. He was in the reserve. But he spent most of his time on expeditions to Antarctica. On one occasion, while he was there, he ascended to Mount Erebus, a mountain covered with ice, 13,120 feet in elevation. And on January 16, 1909, he determined the position of the South Magnetic Pole. On another expedition, he was on the ship Endurance. It was caught and stranded in ice packs. He had 22 crew members he had to leave behind to go get help. He had 27 total. He took 5 of the crew members with him in a whale boat and went through some of the roughest seas you could ever imagine. He made 4 attempts to come back and rescue the 22 left at the scene of the sinking of the Endurance. Finally, after 10 months, he was able to rescue the men that he had left behind. On his return trip to Antarctica, Shackleton had a sudden heart attack and he died at sea. His life was one of exploration and pioneering and adventure and challenge. I want you to listen to one of the pleas he made, an ad he placed in a London newspaper to try to get people to go on one of his expeditions. Today we're having trouble with people going to work. People don't want to work. We see signs everywhere and we see ads online and in papers inviting the people to come for employment. Well, here's his ad, quote, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return is doubtful, honor and recognition in case we are successful." Do you know how many people signed up? 1,000 said they would go on his expeditions. My question this morning is this: should God's children do less? Shackleton was not looking for average people for his exploration. He was looking for people that would put their life on the line. That's Jesus' search as well. Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me.'" Salvation is free. But let me ask you a question. How much has salvation cost you lately? Has salvation cost you your job because of your Christian principles of integrity? Has salvation cost you some friends because you were invited to an event where things were going to be taking place that should not be partaken of by Christian people? Do you desire to be above average in living the Christian life? The Lord calls us to a level of commitment so that we're the best of the best of what He called us to do. First of all, we've got to be passionate about our beliefs. And I looked up the word passion. It just means strong feelings. It means to be extreme or have compelling emotions. People are passionate about sports in our country. When we were in the middle of COVID in 2020, many of the conferences in Division I football decided to cancel their seasons. The fans were outraged. You remember they signed petitions. They marched on capitals and states and encouraged the state legislature and the governor to force these conferences to overturn their cancellation decision. People wanted their football. They didn't care if they went in a stadium and they got terminal COVID. They wanted to watch their kids play. People are passionate about their pets. They talk to them like they're human beings. I remember when I worked in the grocery business, when Alpo went on sale, we sold cases and cases. Alpo is not good enough. Now we have organic meat for our dogs in the refrigeration section right next to Human Food. Some are taken to gyms. Did you know some dogs now have their own personal trainers? I didn't know until my sister's dog had to have knee surgery that there is physical therapy for dogs. She sent me a text pic, I wish I had it to put on the screen today, of her dog at PT. He's on a treadmill that's this deep in water, and Linus is the fastest dog in water that day. He's rehabbing that knee that has been repaired. Then I was watching television by accident the other night, and I saw that you can take your dog for his own vacation and pay about $3,000 and leave him there to play with other dogs for a whole week at the beach. People are passionate about their money. They're passionate about their family. Don't mess with my children and grandchildren. People are passionate about baseball, football, tennis, golf, pickleball, boating, etc. And then look at what a price we put on sports. Dustin Johnson, back in 2020, during the lockdowns, was at East Lake Country Club, and he won the FedEx Championship. And you know how much he won by the end of that last day, that Sunday at East Lake? $15 million. How much does sports put in our economy? During the pandemic, the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta was canceled because of COVID. It cost Augusta, Georgia, $100 million in revenue. People are passionate about certain things, but let me ask you a question. Next thing I want you to write down, how passionate are you about your salvation? 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 58, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Think about this in your own life, and I don't only look at my personal life. How excited were you when you trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord? And you know what? You couldn't wait to tell somebody. But most of us have gotten over that emotion. We've gotten over that excitement. The fact that we've been saved for so long, we're just no longer moved by that experience. And we don't want to share that from an overflow with other people. That's nothing new. John wrote in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." Passion is what stirs us. Passion is what moves our heart. Passion is what gets us in motion and into action. We share what we're passionate about. You go home today and you crank up your Facebook, and you'll see that a lot of your friends from Pleasant Valley South are at the beach, and they're showing you pictures. Oh, the water is emerald and it's clear near the shore. And then they'll show you pictures of their family. And it's also pictures for thieves to come and break in their homes, because they know that they're not home right now. And then we're passionate about recipes, and we share those. We're passionate about restaurants or your favorite car or truck. 90% of Christians never share their faith. But on Facebook, we share what we're really passionate about. Let me ask you, how passionate are you about Scripture? Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" God's word is a thing that changes lives. The Bible will change your heart. The Bible will change your soul. Listen, God's word draws men to God and pulls men away from evil. Are you passionate about your Bible? Delaney and I were listening to David Jeremiah before we went to bed last night between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. That's a great time to go before the sun goes down. And Jeremiah was saying that you can listen to the Bible. There's some things that you can download right now. You can listen to the entire Bible read to you now in 72 hours. We think about reading through the Bible. That just takes so long. Well, why not download the Bible? You've got some great narrators, great voices that will keep your attention, and you could have the Bible listened to in probably 2 to 3 weeks if you're just checking in and out. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you heard a sermon lately or Bible study lately that caused a change in your life? Turn with me, if you will, quickly to Ezekiel 33:30-33, and listen to what Ezekiel says about the people. In verse 30 of Ezekiel 33, "As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, 'Come and hear the message or the word that has come from the Lord.' My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words," here it is again, "but do not put them into practice. When all this comes true," and it surely will, "then they will know that a prophet has been among them." Does that not describe our nation today? You hear the word of God, but then oftentimes we don't do it. We ought to be passionate about the Bible and its teachings, and they should not be rejected by our lives. In 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt declared the week of Thanksgiving as National Bible Week. Every president since 1941 has reiterated Bible Week, Thanksgiving week. But guess what happened in 1941? Thanksgiving was on Thursday. It was on November the 27th. And guess what happened just a few days later on December the 7th, 1941? Pearl Harbor. Now, you won't believe this, but NBC News, as they were giving live updates from the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, when they had a break in their newscast, they had somebody reading the Bible to the American people. That would not be acceptable to the politically correct anymore. How appropriate it was that it was National Bible Week, and just a few days later, they're still reading the Bible because our nation is in crisis. And then the other thing we need to do, passionate about the Bible, need to be passionate about our salvation, but we ought to be pleasing in what we do to God. We find that in John chapter 8, verse 29. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. And listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. No person can be above average in their Christian service unless they're trying to please God himself. The problem for many is self-appeasement, seeking to satisfy ourselves. General Robert E. Lee was commander-in-chief of the Confederate troops during the Civil War in Northern Virginia, probably in his last visit there. A lady walked up to him and handed him her baby and said, "Would you please bless my child?" He held the child and he looked at the lady and he said, "Teach him that he must deny himself." The reverence and fear of God is the starting place for wisdom. And as we get God's wisdom and we follow that, we become better than the best in serving God. You think about somebody driving down the highway and there's a speed trap set up. Now, I've noticed more and more police officers are driving SUVs. You can't spot them as easy as when they used to just be in the Ford Crown Victoria on the side of a road holding the radar out the window. And let's just say, for argument's sake, I know this would never happen, there's a Dodge Charger with blacked out windows going down the highway 120 miles an hour on I-75. When that person driving that fast down the highway spots one of those SUVs, let me tell you the process that he would go through, or we would go through, once we have seen the speed trap. The first thing that happens instantaneously when you see a speed trap is your heart races a little bit faster. The next thing you do is look down at the speedometer to see how fast you're going. The next thing in the process is the brain says, take your foot off the accelerator. The next thing that happens is you begin to pump your brake. You don't slam on your brakes, because you want that police officer to think you were going the speed limit all the time when he saw you a quarter of a mile away, and when you go by, you're right on 70 miles an hour. Does anybody relate to that at all? You know what the last thing you do in that process is? Look in your rearview mirror to see if he's pulled out behind you with the blue lights. Isn't that right? That's exactly what you do. Now think about this. That person that's driving 120 miles an hour has no respect for the law. But once they see the authorities out on the road, all of a sudden, they've got instant respect and reverence for that police officer, because you might get busted, might get a ticket. Many Christians live their lives by their own set of rules and regulations and principles. And the problem is, we don't live with an awe and a reverence for God. He lives within us. He knows everything we think. He knows everything we say, everything we see, and everything we do. So fearing God means that God is the reference point wherever the Christian goes or whatever we're involved in at that moment. And the other thing you want to write down is this: please others. Now by this I mean not doing things because people want you to do it, but do what God has called you to do in serving others. You know, some of the people that used to serve in our church, in our nursing home ministry, are some of the unsung heroes of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. We had a team every Sunday morning. They'd go to two different nursing homes. They'd have a lesson prepared for the residents. They had musical instruments. They had music and play the old hymns that the people love that are over there. They were brought down into the common area there. And there they are in their wheelchairs and on their walkers and everything. And they just look forward to that every Sunday. Some of us have a hard time getting to Bible study on time. These people that served in our nursing homes had to go earlier than our Bible study time. They had to go so they could get through and get back over here for worship. Let me ask you, how much does your service to the Lord cost you? Does it inconvenience you? I'm not talking about doing what others want you to do and what they want you to say, but I'm talking about sacrificial ministry that God has called you to do either here through the church or out there in the world where you live. Some of you saw this news story on television. Back in the 1980s, a man named Sam Reck, R-E-C-K, not W-R-E-C-K, met this lady named Joanne at a church event in Jacksonville, Florida. They immediately fell in love. They got married. But what happened in 2020? Joanne contracted COVID. And since she was about 90 years old, the doctor said, we're not going to put her in ICU and on a ventilator. We're going to put her in palliative care. What is palliative care? That's in-hospital hospice, basically, is what that is. Administration at the hospital said, we're not going to ban the families from going to see her. We want her to be able to spend some time with family. And I want you to know that her husband, day after day, put on two masks, a helmet with a face guard, gown and gloves, and stayed by her every day until July the 12th, when the Lord took her home to be with him. They said it was amazing to watch them. Said sit there with their eyes locked, just looking at each other. They were known as the Romeo and Juliet of the Presbyterian assisted living where their permanent residence was at that time. Somebody asked him, do you regret investing that time? He said, absolutely not. And guess what happened to him? He got COVID right after his wife died, and 3 weeks later, he was in heaven with her. He said, I didn't have a second thought about risking my life to take care of my wife with COVID. Then we need to be prepared with what we know. Somebody said, we'll never grow beyond what we know. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. We're talking about polishing up the things that we already know, the things that we have learned in the past about the Bible and the Christian life. How do we keep those things fresh? How do we keep those things sharp? Very simply, be present for worship. I'm amazed at how many people that say they're saved, that God has given them a special exception concerning attending worship. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When a Christian misses a worship service, they may have just missed the one message that God was trying to get to them that would change their entire life. It may have been some principles that they needed to make it through the week. God commanded the pastor in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and with all doctrine. It is the pastor's job to preach the word of God and the responsibility of the members to be present to hear it. I had somebody ask me last week this question. Pastor, July 4th weekend is coming up. Are you going to preach a message like you did last year on the 4th of July? He said, I've never heard anything like it. You didn't use enough scripture and you gave too many of your opinions. And some of our members have said they are never coming back because of what you had to say last 4th of July. I said, well, it's interesting that you asked that question because I'm not preaching one 4th of July message this year. I'm preaching two. I'm preaching one on the 3rd and one on the 10th. And the one on the 3rd is the question, does God belong in government? And the second one, I'm going to be talking about America, a nation who has forgotten God. Now, if you want to make your plans to be out both of those Sundays, I suggest you do so. But I was taught to preach the word of God. What's wrong with America? We've had too many wimps in the pulpits across this nation. Preaching what's easy listening. We're preaching what's politically correct. And we're preaching all grace and no holiness. And we don't say anything about sin and about the judgment of God. I was reading 3 John yesterday, and then I read Jude. And over in Jude, you'll find there, and the example has been Sodom and Gomorrah to the people, but nobody pays attention. You know what I think we ought to have? Is Bible-based Christian marriage month. And we ought to march down the streets of Atlanta, Georgia, and Rome, Georgia. Say we're thankful that God created us male and female. And we're just out here to say we're so thankful for our spouses and God's blessings on us. What do you think of that? That's not going to be allowed. You won't even get a permit. I better move on or my friend might have to leave the service because I've gone to my July 3rd message. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Do you know what keeps people coming to church? It's attitude. People say, no, it's commitment. Listen, attitude comes before commitment. It's the desire to be here. It's putting the church ahead of other things. I watch people go through stages. They come and they bring their children till their children get out of high school and go off to college. And guess what? Then you don't see mom and dad anymore. They're starting to travel like they wanted to do when they had kids at church. Here's something else that happens. The kids go off to a state university and they're bombarded with liberalism in the classroom and in the dorm rooms. And all of a sudden, they're not going to church anymore. The majority of our college students in America that are Christians that were going to church, the overwhelming majority walk away from their faith and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of their lives. Then I watch senior adults. Just before they get to the point that they're disabled, they decide they can watch it. We can watch this. It's too much trouble to get dressed in the morning anyway. We can watch this on our electronic device. And they drop out. Some of you who are great-grandfathers here and grandfathers, remember in the 1950s, there was a television show. Now understand, back then we had tubes in the TVs that had to warm up. Little light bulbs that had to warm up in the TV before it came on. And there was a television show that was called Miss Patty Page Show. Some of you may have remembered that. Well, there was a couple in America that never watched the Patty Page show. And you know who it was? It was Patty Page's parents. They loved their daughter. There was nothing wrong with the show. And remember, we didn't have VCRs back then. We didn't have DVDs, DVRs. Couldn't record it. But her parents prayed about this. And they said they needed to put the kingdom of God first and be at church on Wednesday night studying the Word of God above watching their daughter star on national TV. How many parents have that kind of priority in relation to Christ and their children now? Then we need to attend Bible study. Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, Bible study, small groups to hone and shape our Bible skills. You've heard the old saying, sin will keep you away from your Bible, and the Bible will keep you away from sin. Sunday school is about the Bible. Eternity Magazine had a story I read the other day. The session of Sunday school was over for the day, and these two brothers walked out together. And one brother looked at the other and he said, I'm never coming back to this church again. I'm never going to Sunday school again. I'm never going to worship again the rest of my life. The brother said, I don't understand that. He said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to learn all I can about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because I want to serve him to the best of my ability, allowing the Holy Spirit to use me. Well, the years rocked along, and the brother was true to his promise. He didn't darken the door of Sunday school or church. Years later, there was a great reception at the Pan American Exposition. The President of the United States was there. The chief executive was standing in line as just a mob of people came up, and all they wanted to do is just shake his hand and speak to the president. And then one of those brothers walked up. He had a handkerchief over one of his hands. And he reached up, and the president reached out his hand to shake this hand that was covered by a handkerchief. And this brother pulled the trigger on a handgun. And I want you to know that William McKinley dropped to his death. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? If I don't go to Sunday school, I'm going to be a murderer? I'm going to be a criminal? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we'll never be better than just the average run-of-the-mill, ease, comfort, pleasure type Christian unless we're passionate about our faith. We're passionate about our salvation and passionate about the Word of God. We're all whining, and we should be. The price of gasoline, the price of food, and all this self-inflicted inflation that's coming from the White House. Because that's hitting us right here in the wallet. Let me ask about your heart. How much is it costing you to follow Christ? Would you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. And you reminded us about your sacrifice and about the cross that we should take up and bear for you. And Lord, this message is very simple, but it makes us look at our priorities to see how we're investing precious time that's fleeting away quickly in our lives while we're here on this earth representing you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, the cost and the price has already been paid for your salvation by Jesus shedding his blood and rising again. And whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. I invite you to make that decision today. Those of us who've already accepted Christ, there's a cost. We will pay for really living for Him. Are you paying it? Am I paying it? Maybe you're here today and you've begun worshiping with us. Maybe you've been out of church for a while, but God's called you to invest your spiritual gifts in what we're doing in this place under God's leadership. I invite you to come and make your decision today. And Lord, we realize this is the most important time during this hour in this place as you deal with the hearts and minds of people privately and the decisions that will be made publicly and privately in just a moment. We pray that those would honor you. So Lord, I pray now that you'd have your will and your way in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Richard's coming forward with the praise band over in the Family Life Center. Ted's going to join me right here. We invite you to come and make whatever decision you need to make today. If you need to come to the altar for prayer, we invite you to come. If you're uncomfortable doing that, we ask you to go to the Connect desk in the Family Life Center after the service. Richard will meet you there. We ask you to go to the desk in the Welcome Center here in the Worship Center, and Ted and I will meet you there if there's a decision you need to discuss with us. If you're watching on your electronic device, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. One of our staff members will get back to you as soon as possible. Clay's going to lead us now. You come.